when a massive nightclub just, you know, suddenly stops letting people through the front door, you usually assume the party is over.
Right. But if you look closely, the music is still blaring and the VIP room is absolutely packed.
And that is exactly what is happening in the Australian economy right now. Welcome to today's deep dive.
We've got a really eye-opening report from the Broker Times today, detailing the National Australia Bank's June 2026 quarter briefing.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission here is to uncover where the money is actually moving when the housing market taps the brakes, and why you should care even if you aren't a mortgage broker.
So the overarching story from the data is a sharp slowdown. NAB's home loan applications fell 15% in volume, but only 9% in value.
Wow, so fewer people are getting loans, but the ones who do get in are taking out much bigger ones. Kind of like that VIP club analogy.
Exactly. First home buyers are basically dropping out while well-capitalized borrowers remain.
Yeah.
And it's not an isolated NABE issue either. Equifax data shows a systemic shift.
Yeah, that 14% drop in applications year on year across the board.
Right, with first home buyers plunging over 17%. And Westpac saw investor applications drop 20% in just 3 weeks after the May 12 federal budget.
So we have a serious bottleneck. It seems to come down to two major levers pulling simultaneously. First, you have the RBA, the Reserve Bank of Australia, hitting the market with three consecutive rate hikes.
Which brought the cash rate up to 4.35% in 2026. And higher rates just mathematically slash how much debt a household can afford to service.
But then the second lever is the federal budget's tax reforms targeting negative gearing and capital gains tax.
Yeah, and look, regardless of your political stance on those policies, the financial mechanics are very straightforward.
Right, because negative gearing previously allowed investors to offset losses on a property against their income tax.
Exactly. Stripping that away, alongside reducing capital gains discounts, well, it fundamentally alters the math. It removes the tax buffer that helped borrowers service large loans.
So the everyday household is mathematically priced out and totally paralyzed, but that capital has to go somewhere, right?
What's fascinating here is that businesses haven't stopped borrowing at all. SME investing is surging, which drove ABI's business lending up 10% year-on-year to a four-year high.
And a massive driver in that portfolio is agribusiness, which saw a 65% growth over 5 years. I mean, ABI handles like one in three agri loans now.
It's massive, and it really comes down to capital intensity and scale.
But why agribusiness specifically? It seems like a leap while the rest of the economy is slowing down.
Well, while households pull back on discretionary spending, agricultural operations are basically forced to invest heavily in land consolidation and expensive new equipment just to maintain yields.
Oh, so they're borrowing for essential production, not just consumer speculation. The
Yeah.
money flows to where it's structurally required.
Precisely.
I have to push back on this overall trend, though. If SMEs and agribusinesses are borrowing heavily to expand, but the everyday consumers are completely tapped out, isn't there a massive structural risk?
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge tension point. The banks are funding production for a consumer base that honestly can't afford to consume. And NAB reported an 8% rise in what they call watch loans.
Right, because while actual default rates fell, defaults are a lagging indicator. They only tell you who has already hit the wall.
Exactly. The watch list is a leading indicator. It tracks accounts showing early signs of financial stress. And right now, that list is flashing red for the construction and transport sectors.
So the cracks are forming in the foundation, even if the building hasn't fallen yet. And this shrinks the pool of safe borrowers even further. Lenders must be fighting over whoever is left.
Yeah, that aggressive competition leads directly to margin compression. NAB, Macquarie, and ANZ are actively cutting their fixed rates just to undercut each other.
And AMP is stretching their policies even further, right? I mean, they are offering 95% loan-to-value ratios for investors.
Which means the borrower only needs a 5% deposit. That leaves almost zero equity buffer if property prices drop. They're also extending interest-only repayment terms to 15 years.
Wow, just taking on riskier terms to keep the money moving out the door.
It's a classic symptom of a constrained market. To maintain loan volume, lenders have to relax their defensive standards.
So, what does this all mean for you? We are looking at a starkly two-speed economy. You have households paralyzed by rate hikes and tax reforms.
While businesses and investors who still have access to capital are just leveraging up and charging ahead.
Which leaves you with this final thought to mull over today. If these businesses are taking out massive loans to expand right now, What happens to their balance sheets when those expansions hit a consumer market that has completely run out of borrowing capacity and spending confidence?
It's a really tough question.
Are they just building a massive VIP room for a club that nobody can afford to enter anymore?